Hey, everybody, welcome back. This is another episode of Dadcast, the very first episode that we are recording in the year of our Lord, 2023. I am JP. He is Nick Martin. Nick, how are you doing today, bud?
I'm good, man. Dude, it's been a while. It has been a while since we've done a podcast.
It feels like it's been a while, but for you, being behind that camera and that microphone in your little studio there, but for me, it doesn't feel like it because I've been edit, and then I have you calling me to do new stuff, which doesn't give me time to do the edit, which in turn makes my life a living hell. But, you know, that's neither here nor there.
You're welcome.
And it is. It's all about good things, man. Today on the show, man, we got a really, really cool guy. He's got a story to tell, and the story he's going to tell, you're going to want to listen to, and we're going to want to listen to it as well, because there's another story to tell about successful podcasts, et cetera, and what he does. But that is neither here nor there at the moment. Please welcome to the show the man, the myth, the legend, with an incredibly awesome beard, Mr. Zachary Babcock. How are you, sir?
Yo, what is up, fellas, man? Super excited to be here and excited because we got some stories to tell.
We do have some stories to tell. Like I said, off air, I was doing a little deep dive on the old Zachary Babcock. Now, can I just call you Zach?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. It's fine. Is that do you prefer that?
Yeah, it's a funny story, man. I thought, like, coming out of prison, like, I got to use my correct name or else nobody's going to take me seriously and
right.
blah, blah, blah. So I... originally branded myself Zachary, and who the hell calls himself Zachary?
I bet Zachary, you the thousands upon thousands upon thousands of guys named Zachary out there is my guess, but you know,
it is, you do have a point.
But being in the podcast world, Zachary is two extra syllables than Zach, and we need as much talk time as we can. So if we add up all those syllables over the course of an hour, you know, we're missing like 5 minutes of good show. So anywho, Zach, the very first question of Dadcast we like to ask all of our guests. It is a rite of passage. It is, good sir, are you a dad?
Oh, yes, sir. Absolutely.
Tell us, how many girls, boys, names, all the good stuff?
Yep. So I got Isabella. She's my oldest. That's my stepdaughter. She's 13. The you know, the age where they don't want anything to do with you.
Oh, and yeah. Then, uh-huh.
I got two boys. They turn 9 in February. Those are my twin boys. And then I got my daughter. She's my youngest, Lindley, and she just turned 4 in October.
Wow. So you're rocking a set of 4 over there. Okay. It's funny you mentioned.
And then I got Rocky, our dog.
Yeah. And the fur baby. You can't. I've got two wieners, a fat one and a spotted one. Just, you know, at home, if you know.
Yeah. Oh man.
Come on, Nick. No funny comment there.
No.
Did you let that one slide that time?
Let it slide. Just let
all right.
You doing your wieners.
It's funny you mentioned that about your 13-year-old. That it's not the age of where they start hating you, disliking you, etc. It is an actual time frame. So you have entered said time frame. I am currently in it. Nick is currently in it. My eldest just turned 18 and I don't even see her. You know, she actually moved out and I've seen her once this month and that was for Christmas.
Yeah.
It's strange. It's strange.
Good stuff, right?
It's tough, isn't it? Like, dude, my kids just went back to winter break. It was first day back. We were like, me and Steph couldn't wait. We're talking about all right. week and then now we're all like sad and missing the kids. We're like, what the fuck is wrong with us,
man? Exactly. Today's the first day of that for me. The routine has started. Got to get up at 6 a.m., get the kids up, get the little one to the bus stop if I can get there on time. If not, got to drive her to school, then head back to make sure 12-year-old boy is up and ready to get the bus for middle school. And here we are. I dropped him off. I literally sat in my driveway this morning, you guys, for an hour, just sitting there. I'm not even kidding. Car running. And I played Candy Crush on my phone, but I was sad, man. I was like, oh. But at the same time, I was pretty stoked. Now I can get some shit done.
Yeah. Taking Liam back to the daycare today, too, because of the daycare, I had 2 weeks off. So it was kind of like, and he was like, and usually he gets all weird, too. Like, he doesn't want to, like, disrupt his routine. So, like, he's, like, super stoked to go back. I'm like, oh, cool. This is good. Like, kid's growing up a little bit. He's not going to be all weird and make it uncomfortable for us. But mama was a little sad. I'm just like, yes.
Yeah, what happens? Well, you need to take the time. Zachary, I don't know if you're aware, but Nick has 83 children. Number 84 is due. Okay, not really 84.
Any day now, actually.
Any day now is his baby girl's born. Yeah. It's a crazy story. I expect to not see you ever again.
No, we'll have little baby Sophie sitting here.
Oh man, I can't wait.
Yeah.
Can I be in the room?
Yeah. Hopefully, no. Hopefully we'll get more views though. Like when we bring Sophie on the podcast with our guest and she's like cute and stuff and like taking away from our ugly mugs.
I think you just put your crib that's where you're at. And yeah. I'll just do the show, man. I think it'll work just fine.
JP and Sophie. There you go. Yeah, no, we went to the doctor today, though. She's Danielle's dilated, and Sophie's 7 pounds, 2 ounces right now. So she could pop out any.
Wow, bro. So exciting. Oh,
and then,
man.
And then it hit me. I'm like, holy shit. Like, I could be holding another baby any day now.
Not could be, will be, son, will be.
I know, will be.
Yeah. And it's crazy you touch on that. I'll ask you, Zach. We've asked this of many of our guests, dads in previous shows, about how women and the moms in our lives, once they are pregnant and they got that little baby in there, their mom. From that point forward, they are a mother in their brain and their view. But to us dads, and most of us, me included, Nick included, we don't really feel like, at least for the first time with me, didn't feel like we were a father yet until the baby was born and was, you know, and he just said it. Did you hear it? He just said it. It's like, oh, it's hitting him now that this is, you've had 9 months, man. But it's only hitting you now, and it's further proof. Did you feel the same way with any of your children? Like, it's just, I'm going to be a dad. I'm going to be, going to be, going to be. But now, boom, and once child arrives, then it's, okay, I'm a dad now.
It's like the real thing. You know, it's like, you know, that's a physical package you could touch, smell,
right.
Feel, all that stuff. It's like, oh, this is real.
See, women out there, I'm telling you, I mean, it's not a bad thing. My lady got, like, she got... I wouldn't say angry, but she wasn't pleased because I kept referring to how I'm going to be. This was at the birth of my first son. I learned, you know, on the next ones. You know, I referred to, you know, I'm going to be, I'm not yet. And it was weird how she just, you know, was, I guess maybe took a little bit of offense to the fact, but I guess we're just wired differently. You guys, that's just how it is. So how was it, man?
We have the 9 months of like growing the baby in us.
Right.
So we're not emotionally attached to it.
Exactly. So. And it's they need to understand that.
Yeah.
Neither here nor there. Zach, talk to me, man. So are your twins, the boys, those were your first children that were born of your blood, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Take us back 9.5 years ago. There was a fateful day and the lady, the wife, are you married? Is it?
Yes, we're married. Okay. We weren't married at the time, but we're married now.
Okay. So your wife, she came to you and had a conversation to let you know a little something that you were in fact going to be a dad to some boys, which you didn't know at the time. How'd that go?
To be completely honest with you, it was bittersweet. It was like the best day of my life because I couldn't, like, my whole life I wanted to be a dad. I grew up without a dad. And so like, I used to like play football and like see all my dads at friends, dads at practice and stuff. And used to wonder how that felt and, you know, really looked forward to the opportunity to be a dad one day. The news came to me though at a darker time in my life. It happened right after I got fired from a job because they found out I was a convicted felon after they hired me into management because I was their best salesman by far and wide. And so I was in the middle of like thinking like I was never going to put my past behind me and it didn't matter how hard I tried and all that. And then I got that news and I was super happy, but then I was also like, damn, I can't even get a job anywhere. How am I going to provide and stuff? But yeah, that's how that went.
Right on. And then about 9 months later, were you in the room? How was that day?
So another thing, man, I went back to prison 20 days before my twin sons were born.
Oh, okay.
And so, yeah, I was going off the deep end. I was, man, I literally, making excuses. I responded to that whole situation not like a champion. As long story short though, I ended up going back to prison. And so I woke up the next day realizing that I was heading back to prison. I was inside of a jail cell getting ready to go back on a parole violation. And this was 20 days before my twin sons were born. And so it was in that moment right there where I was like, dude, I'm done. And I started moving in a completely different direction in my life and haven't stopped.
How long were you in prison during the beginnings of your sons? I mean, how old were they when you got out?
8 months. They were 8 months.
When okay. So good. Good. I mean, you know, I like to look at it, the light of any darkness, and they have no idea. They had no idea as far as they were concerned. And, but you do, and that's what sucks. But yeah. As you mentioned, so that right there is a fantastic segue into the story of Zach Babcock. You made a decision that day. What was that decision? And leading up to right now, you and I talking, what have you done with your life to improve on that?
Yeah, man. So the decision was like, I don't care what it takes. I don't care. Like, I'm doing whatever the fuck it takes to get back home and be a dad and be in my kid's life. And we're going to do whatever. And so, I sat there. I didn't know when I was coming home. So that was hard going through that. Finally got the parole date. I'm sitting there thinking of ways for how I could start a business and make money when I get home, because I knew it was going to be tough sledding, getting a job. Got out, got to hold my sons. Best feeling in the world. Couldn't get a job anywhere for 2 months. And I started off in network marketing, did that for about 2 years, was making almost $2,000 a month residual income. But network marketing just wasn't my thing. I wanted to do my own thing. And so I left that and began in 2017 and tough sledding for the next year and a half. And then I launched my podcast, Underdog Empowerment. That started like getting me some traction in 2018. And then I finally broke through in the business in the beginning of 2019 with our podcast agency.
There it is. And it's just so fitting that we're happen to be on a podcast right now. And we're going to take all the advice that you are willing to give, obviously. But if I were to ask, because I get this question all the time from, you know, fans, friends, family members. And it's the basics of questions. And it's like, how do you answer this one correctly? And it's laughable. And I'm sure you'll get it. But here we go. How do I start a podcast?
Yeah. Fritz. Yeah. And it is funny because there's a lot that goes into it.
Right.
But it's simple, and I'll run you through it, but I got like a PDF that I give people. It shows them literally step by step how to start a podcast from front to end. And then
let's not give it away for free here, man. I checked out your website. This is what you do. You've got the knowledge, you've got the proof in the pudding to back it all up. You are very successful. Your Underdog Empowerment podcast is very successful. We don't want to give away all that stuff for free. So just put out some, unless you want to, but if you want
to. I want to. I'll
okay. All right. Well, then here you go. I always thought, and tell me if I'm wrong, my always answer is, well, the first thing you need is a tangible idea. Something you're going to talk about. Yeah, exactly. A concept for a podcast. You can't just sit down in front of a mic and just start talking about anything and everything, whatever. And you got to stick to that and go. Correct? Is that about number one?
I would say.
Yep, it is.
And then it's like, all bets are off. You can talk about whatever the fuck you want.
Yes.
For as long as you want.
Yeah, man. I mean, exactly, dude. I call it your marketing message. I specifically call it your 4 W's, is what I walk through everybody through. So we got this whole, we call it the powertrain system. It's a podcast marketing system. There's 5 different pillars. The first pillar, though, is your foundational pillar, and that's your content. And so before we get into all the sexy growth pillars, like growing your audience or making money or building influence, all these things, right? Before we get into all that fun, flashy stuff or whatnot, we got to have a strong foundation to build the house on. And so that's with your podcast marketing message. And you just real simply, you don't make this, don't overcomplicate it. Just like one sentence answer to each one of these questions. Who is your podcast for? What is your podcast about? Where is it taking them? And why should they listen to you? And you get that really dialed in. And then a pro tip here, especially if you're doing a podcast, you know, you're the host, right? So people are tuning in for you. So you're probably going to want to speak to who you were yesterday or who you were just starting out or anywhere in between that, because you are that person, you understand them, and you can help them get to where you're at. And so when you do that, that message is always going to hit every single time versus you trying to do something that you're not, and then you feel imposter syndrome with it.
Right. Well, you hear that, Nick?
I do.
You hear that? You got to stop talking like you've been a successful anything. No. You got to admit.
Ouch.
You guys are ruthless.
Yeah. It's 23. By the way, I'm going to do a Bash Nick segment every single episode this entire year. That was my New Year's resolution.
Ooh, you should have told me that before.
No, man. We got to make a surprise. So, yeah, there you go. Where can anyone who's interested in learning the ins and outs and becoming a successful podcaster. And you know, before we mention that, okay, I'm making you hold on here. Where can they, how much money have you made? If that's a question I can even ask, how successful has your program been? Because people be like, oh, who's this Zach Babcock guy? I've never heard of him. They're just on JP and Nick's Dadcast podcast. No, y'all, he's the real deal successful when he does what he does. You need to listen to him. If you want to share that information, cool. If not, where do we find your info?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm an open book, man. We're still working on scaling to doing 1 million in a year. That's the big goal this year, to do it all within 1 year. But we've done over 1.5 million total on gross sales, not net take home. We do got some pretty decent margins though. But since 2019, since we launched the business, have done that. But I like to talk more about the results of the people we worked with, because that's the cool stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so, like, you got guys like Roman Casales with Battle Tested Podcast. He came through our program and then, you know, launched his podcast, got it ranked in 17 hours after he launched it. But even more cooler, he went and took the same thing we showed him about interviewing the high level, very influential people, landed an interview with Brad Lee. And then he leveraged that into an interview with Tariq El Moussa. And that's the star on HGTV and the real estate flipper, whatever. And Roman's a real estate agent, a real estate investor that's building a real estate team. And then now he interviewed Tariq El Moussa in person. Then they became business partners, and then they spoke at stages together. And then that led him to getting to speak on the same stage that Tony Robbins headlined. So, like, really freaking cool stuff. There's tons of stories like that, but like sharing stuff like that.
That's amazing.
Using the system.
Nick, there you go. We've been hitting on all these things and not even realizing it, which is kind of why I think, you know, not to toot our own horn or anything, but why Dadcast has become somewhat successful in the podcast world. Nick is relentless when it comes to leveraging guests we have on to get more guests that they know. And we speak with a crap ton of celebrity guests, and, that's how it's worked.
Taking your advice though, and going into the influencers like Sean Whalen from Lions Not Sheep, you is another one, and just different people have awesome stories that are doing really, really cool shit and using their platforms to grow and help other people become successful. So that's kind of what I'm looking at for 2023. Instead of, you know, we'll still obviously interview celebrities, but I'm more interested in people like you and Sean and anybody that's in that element, that's doing that kind of stuff, motivational speakers, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, dude, that's cool that you even mentioned me in the same sentence with Sean like that. Like, I've got a long way to go to get on that level. I know that's where I'm heading and where I'm eventually going to be, but just to get mentioned in the same sentence, because, like, I know I'm not even at that level, you know what I'm saying, yet. So appreciate that, man. Thank you.
Yeah, buddy. And speaking of, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Do you see that incredibly awesome t-shirt that Nick is wearing right now? The Dadcast friggin' New Balance shoe shirt.
New Balance shoe shirt. I love it, dude.
Everyone loves it. I was so much iffy on that, because that, to me, would admit that I'm a middle-aged man dad. But us middle-aged man dads these days are a different breed than they were for our parents, I think. That shirt, totally available right now at dadcast.co. Just click on the merch store, buy it, love it, own it, buy like 100 of them for your friends. And And Nick, speaking of, could you send our boy Zach one of those shirts? Because I'm sure he'd totally rock that sumbitch around town.
Definitely.
And I'm putting you on the spot.
One stipulation, all your all the listeners here, is that when you go to dad, when you go and get the merch, you cannot wear the shirt unless you own a pair of New Balance. It's in the rules. There you
go. Well, now we need to contact New Balance and make sure they make them. Oh God, look at it.
I don't mess around.
Well, and we just saw how unflexible you actually are.
I know that.
That looked like a little bit of effort, bro.
I'm going to not move for probably 10 minutes because my whole body does not feel right now. That hole in my spine I have, I probably just reopened it.
Yeah, good job, bro. Come on.
Oh, my gosh.
Man, that's a dude. I mean, I know we just met Zach, but I always feel like my next statement will come off as a little like some people like, do you really know this guy? Why would you say such a thing? Well, I am proud of you.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. You're cool as shit too, man. I know we just met, but I feel like I've known you my whole life.
Thanks, man. It's just, you know, I hear this story and you know, a lot of guys, you know, they go through what you go to prison. I'm not going to ask for what or why that's past, but that right there, that's it. You know, they format the rest of their life because of that. And you totally broke out of that mold, became successful in something that I love doing as well. So that's just, it's a great story, man. And continued kick ass to you, man. It's amazing.
Thank you, brother. I really appreciate that, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We need to do a collab or something eventually here. Where do you live? Where is the home abides of Zach Babcock?
St. Louis, Missouri, just right outside of St. Louis.
Louis, pretty cold there right now?
Actually, it's pretty warm. It's like feels like it's springtime right now. The weather's like smoking crack or something. I don't know.
Lucky. I wish our weather would smoke some crack.
It's so cold.
It's like 30 degrees out in Southern Oregon right now.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Which is Oregon, nice. Warm considering some parts of the country right now. But it's true. Yeah, it's that's why I'm wearing all this, because the the heat has busted in my replica studio here. What has been the biggest challenge for you as a father?
Ooh, man, that's a good question, because there's so many of them, which is the biggest one. The biggest challenge, I guess, for me has been, it's different with each kid. I'd say with Bella, my stepdaughter is 13, is balancing because I don't want to be the one that's like the bad news with her, because I'm her stepdad. I want to bring the good news,
yeah.
You know, because, you know, but at the same time, I got to do, you know, got to be a dad. But it's like balancing that relationship to let her know that, hey, I'm not your friend, I'm your dad. You know, that's a tough one sometimes. Especially like the other day, man, I went up there in her room. Like I said, our weather smoking crack. It was -6 just a week and a few days ago, and now it's 60. I don't understand it, but it was -6. So I was going up there to check the pipes and make sure they weren't busted out. And she was in bed with her 13-year-old boyfriend, and underneath the cover.
Man, bro, I feel you right now.
Yeah, boy, is lucky that God stepped in and intervened in that moment, because I seen it. I was like, get out of the bed, and I said it real calmly, and I went to the bathroom.
Yeah,
a deep breath, and like, all right, well, how do we move forward with this? And I made them all come downstairs. But yeah, that's pretty tough.
Holy balls! Thankfully, I preempted all that with mine. You and I were kind of sharing the same story. My oldest, I told you, just turned 18. She's my stepdaughter as well. So everything you just said hit home. It's balancing it, knowing that you're not dead. Now, is your daughter, is her dad in her life? Yes or no? We don't have to get into craziness. Okay. Does he spend much time with her?
Not as much as I think he should, but that's my opinion.
Gotcha. In my case, dad's awesome. She's, in fact, from 16 and a half to 18 years old, she almost spent more time at that household than here, because why wouldn't you? There's two younger siblings here, and it's a freaking chaotic mess, and she would have her own room and her privacy, etc. So I don't blame her for that. But point being is, my struggle was, he's a good dad, but he's got different takes on how to be a dad and punishing, and they're all, you know, what, you know, his form of punishment versus what I would do in the same exact scenario, completely different. And juggling the attitude and her just demeanor from different houses, it's like, I wish I was a fly on a wall over there so I could see how she treats him and how she talks to him versus is over here. Is it the same? Is it different? Et cetera, et cetera. But tell you what, she comes over here and thinks, you know, she can do what the hell she wants. And it's no. You know, the rules are set in place, and I'm not being an asshole. I'm not trying to ruin your world because you can't, you know, take your M&Ms into your bedroom, you know, just craziness. And she kept pushing it, and still didn't ever listen. But I feel you, man. That's difficult. Never, though, I strategically placed her bedroom to where that would never happen. In fact, I don't even think I ever let have boys in here, to be honest. I was like, you want to, okay, you go outside. We didn't allow them inside. But I do have my youngest baby girl who's 9 years old, who is the firecracker. She is little Miss Sassy Frass, got daddy wrapped around her finger. And I am starting to see little hints of that independence and that fire kick in. And she's not even 10 yet. And I'm going to have my hands full. But boy, 13, no, sir. You well no, done for not, remember, not going back to prison. Close. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, dude.
Like, dude, you are so much nicer than I am. I would have killed the little kid.
I would have
just called the cops. I'm like, hey, there's going to be a homicide. Just come give me hints.
Now, does your daughter watch any of your podcasts or follow anything you do?
Not really.
Good. She so we continue it, on this. She doesn't like. Okay. Yeah, what? Doesn't really follow it. I'm curious. You know, I love these podcasts. These are questions that do you do that in your podcasts and recommend to guys who subscribe to you and you help along? Do you have a set list of questions or do you just throw those in the trash and go where the conversation takes you?
I go where the conversation takes me. It's just always been my jam, but you know, I can see, you know, the benefit. Like, so for an example, like, depends. Like if it's just if I'm interviewing somebody, there's nothing, unless there's like somebody I had some specific questions that I want to ask them ahead of time, I'll write those down, but I'll still go with the flow. I'll just ask those questions and then we'll go.
Right. Just kind of work them in
after that.
Gotcha. Yeah. Cause that's what we do. But man.
Yeah. It's the best way to do it. Isn't
fly
it?
By the seat of our pants, which now part of that is, what was the result? What was the conversation you had regarding that scenario with your daughter and the kid in the bed? How did you handle it after the fact when you thought about it? And where are we at now?
Yeah, that's a great question right there. So I made them come downstairs and he had already like texted his mom or whatever because they picked him up shortly after and he was gone. Scared the bejesus out of him. Hasn't been over since. He actually broke up with her and all that. And
did you have your shirt off when this happened? Because that would intimidate me.
No.
Okay. All right. Just curious.
But I didn't have any conversation with it that day. But a couple of days later, when I went to go pick Isabella up or drop her off to one of her friends, you know, they're on their winter break or whatever, I had the conversation with her and was just, this was like, was real and was like, hey, look, this is going to be, you know, let's just be straight up and call it like it is. Like, I'm not here trying to be, you know, a mean or stop you from hanging out and having fun. But I'm not going to let you have boys in your room. Like just one time is all it takes. And you guys are playing around, whatever. And then now all of a sudden you got a baby on the way. And she's like, ew, girls are like, yeah, well, that's all it takes. You know what I'm saying? And I'm as my responsibility as a dad, stepdad, love you like my own.
Your dad, man. You don't need to add that in there.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm here to protect you. And that's what I'm going to do. And so for now on, we're not going to have boys in the room. That's how it was at most of when I remember growing up at pretty much everywhere I went, almost not everywhere, but almost if you were a boy, you weren't allowed into a girl's room. Even if you guys were friends, you had to stay in like the living room and hang out or whatever, you know, and vice versa. So that's how we're going to roll here for here on out.
How'd you take it?
She was cool. Good. I even told her too. So the next thing I told her that she was cool with that. The next thing I was gauging, I was like, look, I've been really contemplating. I'm going to let it slide this time and I shouldn't do it, but I'm going to let it slide this time just because it's been a few days. But I really wanted to call his parents and have a conversation with him because, you know, a lot of girls get the hard end of the stick whenever stuff like this happens. But I feel like the boys, their parents need to have a sit down and talk about the importance of this and, you know, the ramifications of what can happen here.
Yeah.
And so, but I told her that, hey, I'm gonna let it slide this time around. But you know, we're not going to have boys in the room next time. And if I ever were to catch something like that again, I would be having a conversation with the parents. So if you don't want that happening, don't bring it into the house.
Well done, Dad. Well done.
Thanks, man. But here's the thing though. Now I wonder like, well, what is she going to do? You know,
right.
Now she's going to want to leave the house all the time or what, you know, so that's just a hard situation, man.
It's a pickle that there's no answer to, man. You want to give them their independence and that independence grows from right now until 18. I mean, it's just more and more and more and more. And you got to look back to when we were kids. It's hard to go back that far. I don't know about you, but man, I just turned 48 and trying to go back to 18-year-old JP and think the way I thought and put myself in the shoes. It's getting harder and harder as we get along, but I can still remember, you know, thinking my parents were lame and doing all that and that, and here we are. So fine, you know, there's no right answer and there's no pickle. You do the best you can with, you know, the foundation that you have already proven on this podcast right here is friggin' solid as a rock as far as, you know, morals and being a good dad are concerned, and just hope for the best. It's really all we can do, man.
Pray to God.
Yep.
We got from TJ Lavin, just be on their team.
Yeah.
Like that was a big one for me. Like, yeah, cause I was always like with my kids, hey, I'm the boss. It's what I say goes. And when I talk to Lavin, it's like, all right, let's approach this a little differently. Get on their team, listen to their side, listen to, you know, let them know you respect them to a certain extent. And then you got their back, but there's still rules, but you still have their back. And then that's kind of how I'm approaching with my older kids now. Cause I got older kids, I got the babies, and it's just,
can you name all 83 of them, Nick?
No, can't.
Okay. Okay. Well, Nick, this is me. I'm sitting back, man. Remember, yeah, I told you at the beginning, it's Nick time. It's the Nick show. Let's go.
Actually, I'm going to jump in and say, hey, thank you for joining us for part one. Catch us next week for part two.
And for everyone watching, thank you very much. Wherever you are, however you may be listening, make sure you like it up, subscribe, do all the things, and we'll catch you on part two next week. Have a great rest of your day. See you.